Welcome to a Monday episode of the Soccer Central podcast. I'm John Molinaro, chief soccer reporter for Sportsnet. Hope you all had a lovely weekend and you're staying warm wherever you are in Canada. Something different today for you guys as we depart from the usual script. Normally on Mondays, we talk to a journalist from overseas about a particular European league in the first half of the show. And then we chat with Sportsnet commentator James Sharman about the weekend that was in the Premier League. But with Major League Soccer set to kick off its 19th season this week, we thought it'd be appropriate to do a season preview episode of the podcast, focusing on the league's three Canadian teams and talking to a noted journalist in Vancouver, Montreal, and Toronto who cover the clubs in those cities on a regular basis. One of the big stories this season, obviously, has been Toronto FC, after the club went through a comprehensive retooling in the winter. Here to talk about the Reds' upcoming campaign is Kurt Larson, the beat reporter who covers TFC for the Toronto Sun. Kurt joins us on the phone from Toronto. Kurt, how's it going?
Good, man. Thanks for having me.
No problem. Thanks for coming on. Put this into context for us and perspective. I mean, you've covered MLS for quite some time now. Have you ever seen a rebuilding project quite on the level of this, is what Toronto FC has done?
Yeah, so in terms of money, I don't think we've ever seen anything like this in MLS, where a team is, you know, going out and purchasing players for, you know, nearly nine figures over the term of the deals with Michael Bradley and Jermaine Defoe. But, you know, the comprehensive rebuild isn't complete yet, I don't think. And I think TFC's preseason struggles have kind of shown that without their major pieces, is this a team capable of making the playoffs, you know, if a Jermaine Defoe gets injured or if a Michael Bradley leaves for the World Cup? I'm not sure yet. I think they have a lot to prove. And I think as long as their first 11 stay healthy, it's a good team. But after that, and we know MLS seasons are grueling, after their first 11, is this team good enough to last an entire MLS season?
So you think it's the depth is an issue for the team then?
Yeah, I mean, I think it just shows that's how far away from being competitive this team was, that a team can go out and add quality pieces like Justin Morrow and Jackson and still be, you know, kind of, for me, middle of the pack, fighting for a playoff spot when you look at this year and you look at some of the absences they're going to have during the World Cup.
All that being said, what have you made of the job that Ryan Nelson and Tim Bezbachenko have done in the offseason to bring in guys like you know, Michael Bradley and Jermaine Defoe, and to say nothing of welcoming Dwayne DiRosario back into the fold?
Yeah, I think Tim Bezbachenko's kind of, you know, transformed this team via all the relationships he has in MLS with fellow GMs who he used to work with at the front office. I'm still, you know, we're still uncertain as to what Ryan Nelson is as a head coach. Is he a tactician? Is he just kind of someone who can keep the locker room together? You know, they've both been instrumental in bringing in quality players, and Stephen Caldwell and Julio Cesar and Jermaine Defoe. You know, Ryan played a huge role in bringing in those quality players, but you know, it's yet to materialize on the field, and maybe that's because we haven't seen TSC's best 11 together yet. But, you know, it's going to be a huge test for Ryan after bringing in all of these, you know, big-name players and all these new signings. Can he bring them together to get points in MLS?
Well, and that's it's an interesting point. It's one that I've made you know, a lot recently. I kept saying that, you know, there's no question that, you know, he's done a great job using his contacts and network of people that he knows to build this team. But now he has to sort of mold them into a team on the field and get them to play as a team, which, you know, it might not, on paper, it looks easy because of the talent, but, you know, he still has to bring them together. I mean, it's not just a matter of bringing guys together, throwing them on the field, and that's it. I'm wondering, yeah, I tend to agree with you that this is going to be a major test for him.
Yeah, and I think, you know, at the back, you know, this is a player, Ryan Nelson, a player who you know, was instrumental for New Zealand in the last World Cup. You know, he's a player who's going to be able to build this club into, you know, they're going to improve defensively is what I'm trying to say. But what do they do going forward? Does he have any experience, you know, molding a team into what he wants it to be in the attack? You know, how's that going to look going forward with all these new faces? And, you know, I think it's a good question that you ask. And I think it's something that we're going to see quite early, you know, through the first five games. If this club looks like it's getting the most out of all the pieces it's brought in, or if it's kind of helter-skelter for a little bit.
What kind of leash, and I hate using that term, but what kind of leash do you think he'll be given by Tim Leiweke here?
You know, Tim Leiweke and Tim Bezbachenko have talked up Ryan to be the kind of coach that they want moving forward at this club. So I think the leash is going to extend a bit longer than some think it might, just because
right.
I don't think Tim Leiweke is the kind of a CEO that likes to be proven wrong. by the people he puts in place. So even just to save face in that regard, I think you're going to see Nelson probably last the entire season no matter what, unless, you know, there's something catastrophic happens and the club starts, 0-10 or something like that.
Right.
So I think he's going to be given time, and I think he deserves that time based on what he had to work with last year. It's kind of something, something we'll reevaluate, I think, after the first 10 to 15 games.
Sure. We're talking to Toronto Sun reporter Kurt Larson here on the Soccer Central podcast. When you look at the team, obviously, as we said, they've made some major off-season retooling moves. Any holes, any major holes that you see that you look at the team and you think, I'm not so sure, certain about this?
I think in the starting 11, you don't see many holes. I think the starting 11 is solid, and it's a playoff caliber team. But, you know, there are going to be injuries. What happens when a Stephen Caldwell, goes down for a month with a calf strain? What happens, we haven't seen Bradley Aurier this entire season. He's supposedly this entire preseason, he is supposed to be the starting right back. And I think, watching Jeremy Hall there during the club's last preseason game showed that if this club doesn't have its starting components, that, it's going to have some issues. What happens when Michael Bradley goes to the World Cup? I don't think anybody's shown that they can step up and play that role quite like he does. Sure, there's Jonathan Osorio who's looked good in preseason, but after that, who's the next, holding midfielder, standing midfielder after that? So I think, there's actually holes all over the field if you get into that second 11, the group not in that 1 to 11 starters.
Any concern, though? I mean, I think people have kind of, a few people have said that, perhaps in the center of defense, Caldwell's going to, obviously a key figure, but that, is this going to be, are we going to see the best out of Daniil Henry this year? Is, like Busamonde, can he step to the fore if called upon? I do wonder if that central of defense is as strong as it should be.
I don't think it's as strong as it needs to be, going into this season. I think Caldwell, of course, I think he can be a top 10 central defender in the league. But Donald Henry, I think, he's still young and he has, a lot of promise. I think he's still culpable for that one major mistake per half, that
right.
One major mistake per 45 minutes that a good team like a Seattle, like a New York, like a Kansas City will punish. It doesn't matter how well you play as a center back the other 89 minutes. If you have that one moment of madness where you give the ball away cheaply at the back or you miss an assignment, that's often enough to lose you a game. So he needs to get to that level. And I think he's getting there, to be fair. He needs to get to that level where he plays a clean game throughout 90 minutes. And he's done that once or twice this preseason, which is encouraging.
Yeah, it is. But I don't know, I would agree this is going to be a big year for him because I tend to agree with you. He tends to make that one critical error, be it physical or mental, that really kind of costs the team. So I'll be quite interested to see his progress this year. When you look at the prospective guys who might go down to Wilmington for the USL a lone stint, who should we be expecting to see go down to North Carolina, do you think?
Yeah, it's an interesting discussion, I think, because you also have to keep in mind that Wilmington is also a professional club.
Right.
Who's not just going to take anybody on just to take them, right? They're not going to take a Jordan Hamilton if Jordan Hamilton's not ready to be a professional, which, we haven't seen him in preseason yet, so maybe there's something to that. I think you might see Manny Aparicio go down. I think that's why TFC gave him a few extra minutes in preseason to kind of get him to impress maybe the Wilmington coaches that were on hand. I think a guy like Ashton Morgan could benefit from a loan spell. Sure, he's second in line to Moreau at left back, but at the same time, Justin Moreau is going to play every single minute if he's healthy. So there needs to be a situation where they can send a guy like Ashton Morgan down there and be able to recall him, at a moment's notice to come back. Some other names, you'd like to think Kyle Becker maybe, but at the same time, they don't really have that much depth, at center mid, so they're going to want him possibly on the bench on a weekly basis. And then you go to the back and you see a guy maybe like Busamonde, who I can't see breaking into the team this season, and I think actually Nick Hadland's kind of displaced him as that number three mm-hmm. center back, which is a bit disappointing for him, but also a good opportunity if the club can get a loan for him.
Not surprising that the team moved Matias Laba, obviously with the whole designated player situation, he was someone who had to go. Surprised that he went to Vancouver?
Yeah, I mean, I think we always knew it was going to be a Western Conference club. A bit more surprised, seeing as he went to kind of a Canadian rival. But I think it's a great pickup for Vancouver in the end. I think he and Nigel Riakova are going to form a really, really strong partnership, maybe, a top five partnership in midfield in the entire league. Great move for Vancouver, seeing as you know, according to what I've, you know, been told, they didn't really have to give up much else other than paying kind of a portion of TSC's transfer fee. So really, you know, almost a free player in that they didn't have to give anybody up to get him. So a great move for them. I thought he probably would have gone to a team like Chivas or a Colorado or a Dallas, a team like that. But yeah, great pickup for Carl Robinson out in Vancouver.
Is Toronto FC going to miss him?
I think they're already showing signs of missing him. I think, like I've repeated kind of on this, you know, these brief 10 minutes, after Michael Bradley, there's not much else. And how good would it have been? It would have been, you know, basically an insurance policy for Nelson that when Michael Bradley goes to the World Cup with the U.S., which he certainly will, to have Matias Lava you know, step in as a replacement and basically not miss a beat. You know, a partnership with Lava and Bradley would have been, you know, pretty fantastic. So, and then especially now with DK going down, I think Nelson's starting to rue a couple of those insurance policies that he doesn't have anymore.
Yeah, you mentioned DK there, and you know, Gilberto obviously hasn't played a great deal in preseason because he's nursing injuries. Defoe has yet to join the club because he's, you know, he had commitments with Tottenham, and now he's away with the English national team. He's probably not expected to join the team until this weekend. So, when you look at their options up front, not a great deal of depth up there. Do you suspect that they're going to go out and get someone to replace DK?
I think they're looking. I think they're looking hard at that too. And Tim Bezvichenko told me last week that it could be, you know, quote unquote, sooner rather than later, which I thought was a pretty interesting response. But you're right; they need somebody. I think DK. Everybody looked at him as that, you know, that weapon that could come off the bench in the 70th and really change a game. And you know, if you had a Jermaine Defoe away at the World Cup or injured, you know, a DK could slide in right away and just play next to Gilberto, and the club really wouldn't miss a beat. But yeah, I mean, right now, you know, the club goes into the first game, you know, potentially with De Rosario and Weaven starting up top, if Defoe and Gilberto can't go, and Gilberto, of course, is sidelined with an injury. So, you know, they're lacking a bit of depth up there after DK. So, you know, we'll see if Tim Bezvichenko follows through and can find somebody for this club on short notice.
When you look at the preseason, should we be reading too much into, you know, the team's poor record? I mean, should we be overly concerned about that? Was there anything that, what did we learn, do you think, from the preseason about this club?
I think what we learned was that this is either a top three club in the East or a bottom three club in the East, depending on, you know, how the season goes and how many players stay healthy. And, you know, if Jermaine Defoe can come in and do what he's paid to do, if the club, you know, loses guys like Jermaine Defoe and Michael Bradley and Gilberto and Caldwell throughout the season, then, you know, it's hard to see them being a playoff team. But like I said, if everybody stays healthy and they play a majority of their best 11 week in, week out, I think it's a team that can, you know, compete for a playoff spot and even advance in the playoffs.
Interesting. Listen, Kurt, thanks so much for joining us. Really looking forward to your coverage this year, and we'll talk soon.
All right, man. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Kurt. Cheers. Pleased to be joined now by Nick Sabetti, beat reporter who covers the Montreal Impact for Goal.com. Nick joins us on the phone from Montreal. Nick, how are you?
Hey, John. I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thanks for coming on. We really appreciate it. So, the first block of the show, we were talking about Toronto FC. Obviously, now want to talk about the Montreal Impact. I think one of the major themes about the team this offseason has been just the lack of moves by contrast to all the great moves that Toronto FC has made. Surprised by how little the Impact have done?
A little surprised. I think given the way the season ended last year, I think that was the kind of sign that the Impact maybe weren't as good as they thought they were and weren't ready to really make a challenge for MLS Cup. So I think given the way that ended last season, it was a kind of sign that they needed to make some off-season additions. So in that sense, I am a bit surprised that they haven't made many changes, although they don't have very much space to make those changes. So I think if there are going to be changes made, it's going to come over the course of the season.
Santiago Gonzalez, the Uruguay forward, he was about the only real newcomer of note.
Yeah.
You've had a chance to see a little bit of him. What are your early impressions of him so far?
Yeah, actually, we haven't really had a chance to see too much of him, and it says he hasn't played too much in the preseason so far. I think they're trying to sort of, you know, give him a chance. They don't want to throw him into the mix too quickly, so it's kind of a slow transition for him. But from what we've seen so far, I think he's a player that certainly a physical specimen, technical as well. I think he's someone that can play he's quite versatile. I think he's someone that can play alone up front or someone that can play with DeVito as well. I think that can complement him. So I think in terms of the style of player, I think he's certainly someone that the Impact needed. So I don't think we're going to see him right away at the beginning of the season. I think Andrew Wenger will probably get the start for the first few games and then maybe slowly kind of get Gonzalez involved. But my impression is that they're going to take their time with him. But from what we've seen so far, I think he's an interesting player, certainly one that the Impact needed because they did need help up front. They don't have many options outside of DeVito and Wenger, so they did need help in that regard.
Well, and that I guess leads to my next question, because aside from DeVito, who accounted for 40% of the team's goals last season, I mean, who else is going to score for this team this year? And plus, he's going to be suspended the first two or three games
first,
of the year?
First three games.
So I mean, I don't know who's going to provide the offense. Do you think aside from DeVito?
Yeah, that's the biggest concern. I think from what we see in preseason, Wenger started some of the games, so my impression is that he'll probably get the start in the beginning. But yeah, he's going to have to be able to contribute this year. I think last year he got himself into many good positions and just didn't have that, just couldn't finish last year. So maybe is it a question of confidence, is it ability? But they're going to kind of give him a chance this year to perform. I don't think the Impact can expect DeVito to have another 20-goal season, all 20 goals coming from the run of play. So I don't think he'll get 20 goals this year. So given that, Wenger is going to have to contribute, and the Impact are probably hoping that Gonzalez as well can maybe score 7 or 8 goals, or maybe a bit more. So, but that's the biggest concern, I think, for the Impact right now. I saw that if you see at the end of last season, the scoring it was a real drought at the end. They couldn't find a way to score goals. So now Pony's gone. They don't have many solutions. I think Felipe, obviously they're banking on Felipe having a similar season to the one that he had in the first season. Maybe him having more of a sort of free role, maybe playing closer to DeVito or to whoever's playing up front to try and get closer to the goal and score goals. I know last year Felipe played more. He was played out of position in several games. Sometimes he played in central midfield. Sometimes he played on the outside. So I think maybe having Felipe closer to goal will be important. And then getting more contribution from a guy like Andres Romero on the left midfield. I think he had mostly disappointed last season. So I think getting goals from them, I think, will be important. But that's, I think, going into the season, one of the biggest concerns for them, given that, DeVito's can't expect 20 goals from him this year, I don't think.
Right. What about defensively, too? Because the team re-signed Nelson Rivas, who, is coming off of two injury-plagued seasons.
Yeah.
Can he last an entire season, do you think?
I mean, I don't think so. I mean, the first game he played, he came into the training camp healthy. And then the first game that they played, they had a friendly game with Orlando City, and he picked up a hamstring injury. So I don't think they can count on him for very many games this year. So that's the second biggest concern, is that center back. Right now, they have Matteo Ferrari. Obviously, he's the kind of main guy at center back. And then they're really counting on Wander Lefebvre to have a good season as well. And he's an interesting one to look at. I think he's probably going to start the season at center back. Did quite well at the end of last season. So, but is he someone that they can count on to kind of play every game or so? I'm not sure. But they're really hoping that he can develop into a stable MLS center back. And then there's Adrian Lopez, who came out, who the Impact signed from Wigan last August, and then much to their misfortune, he picked up a ACL tear. He tore his ACL, I think, within 2 weeks after having arrived. So we haven't had a chance to see him yet, but supposed to be a good player. The Impact are surely hoping that he is. So, and he's coming back this week. I know he's recovered from his ACL tear. So, but it probably won't be for another few weeks. He's got to obviously kind of go through his own preseason. So we probably won't see him until the beginning of May. So not very many options at center back. That's a really big concern for them.
Yeah, and hasn't Brovsky been injured for most of the preseason too?
Yeah, he picked up a knee injury as well. So They're a bit thin at the back. I think the question now is, you know, who are they going to play at full? I think in the last game against Philadelphia, Kamara played at left fullback, and then they had Eric Miller play at right fullback, which is interesting. He seemed he's had a pretty good camp. He seems pretty solid. He might be a guy that could come in and contribute right away. I know that they did bring in Heath Pierce on trial.
Right.
He's also someone that could, you know, that's kind of versatile, that could play at center back, but we haven't heard anything yet. My feeling is that he won't sign, but we haven't heard anything official from the club. But he would be a guy that technically could play in different positions, which would be useful, but his health is also a concern. So yeah, the impact, I think that's another big concern for them. It's just not very many options in defense right now.
We're talking to Gold.com reporter Nick Sabetti from Montreal here on the Soccer Central podcast. You mentioned Eric Miller there, the top draft pick and defender out of, was he from Creighton? Duke? I
can't remember. Yeah, he's from Creighton.
Creighton, that's it. I know he's looked impressive in the games that he has played in preseason.
Mm-hmm.
Can we honestly expect him to see much playing time this year, or is this more of a long-term project with him, do you think?
I think he can contribute. I think from what we've seen so far, I think he's someone that could probably, not maybe not as a starter, but
right
now with Brofsky out, I think Kamara is the starting right back, and then Brofsky would play at left back for now. So he wouldn't be a starter, but he seems like someone that certainly physically, and he seems like an intelligent player, someone that can come in and you know, you can put him in and you'll be comfortable with him. But I don't think he's someone that the game back can count on as a starter. But certainly someone that can contribute from what we've seen so far. I think he may start at the beginning of the season. He's not someone, he did play a bit on the left side. He was a bit awkward there. So I think he's primarily a right fullback. So we did see Kamara shift over to the left last against Philadelphia. There is a chance that he starts this season as a right fullback. I think they might be, I don't know how comfortable they are with some of the academy kids they brought up the last 2 years of Carl Emmett and Max Tissot. So he might kind of be ahead of those two in the pecking order. So I think he's got a good chance of getting good minutes this year.
Davy Arnault obviously left for DC United. Patrice Bernier has replaced him as team captain. I don't think it's much of a surprise.
No.
The right choice there, do you think?
Yeah, I think it's the right choice. I mean, he's a local guy. He's one of the best players, you know, one of the top five players on the team. I think the first season he came, he won. He was the most valuable player. So he's one of the best players. I think he's one of the leaders on the team. He's also one of the kind of fan favorites. So I think it was a very logical choice. Divayo was kind of the second favorite to be named captain, but I would have been very surprised if Divayo had been given the captain's armband, right? Given the fact that, you know, he does his expressions on the field sometimes, he kind of gets easily upset by his teammates, and so I think
diplomatically said, Nick.
So I think Bernier was the logical choice. I think he's someone that gets the respect of you know, every group in the locker room. So no, I think it was a logical choice. No surprise there.
When we talk about guys who need to step up on this team this year, because of obviously we talked about the problems in defense, the problems up front, you get a sense that people are really going to have to like do a little bit more this year. And you mentioned Felipe is one of those guys. Anyone else that you, when you look at the team, you think he's going to really have to do a lot more this season and really kind of step up to the plate? Who would that be?
I would say, well, Andres Merrill for sure. Last year, I thought left midfield was a real weakness for the impact. Justin Mapp was exceptional on the right-hand side, but they didn't get much from the left side so much, you know, in terms of in transition. It was always kind of down the right to Justin Mapp. So I think if they can get more production left, that would be, you know, they really need that. So Andres Romero, he started the season. He was okay at the beginning of the season. There's some glimpses of what he was capable of. Obviously someone that likes to take players on, but as the season went on, I thought he really struggled. So he's someone that the impact, they've brought him back for another season on loan from Tombense in Brazil. So they're really hoping that he can really reach his full potential. Obviously he's still young, 23 years old, but other than him on the left side, they have Blake Smith. They don't have too much too many options there. So he's someone for sure that they're hoping he can contribute offensively. And then, I think as center back, if Wandre Lefebvre, like I said, someone that they hope that he can kind of become a stable center back for them. Herran Berardello as well, right. Someone that when he came over in August looked really good. He looked like a really great signing, and then he picked up a knee injury and didn't look the same after that. So, he's someone that he's looked really good in preseason so far. He's really pulling the strings in midfield. Obviously, Bernier is still coming, still kind of behind in fitness, probably won't be ready to start in Dallas on Saturday. So Berardello is someone that the Impact are really hoping that he can really take the command in midfield. And he's got his option is up in June, so he certainly has motivation to want to stay here. So that's another guy, I think, that will need a step. And now, of course, Felipe. I think he was really good in the first season. And he's really the key to the way this team plays, I think, because they've only played the 4-2-3-1 in this off season, and I think he's just the key to whether this team works offensively or not. So I think he's got to be at his best, and he's looked pretty good in the off season, so that bodes well for them. But yeah, given the fact there haven't been many signings, they're really banking on players that they currently have to step up their game. So we'll see if that turns out that way, but.
Before we let you go, Nick, I wanted to ask you about Frank Kloppas. Obviously, yeah. Marco Schalabom gone after a bit of a soap opera in the offseason. Frank has come in. What's been your early impressions of him, and how have the players responded to him so far in preseason?
Yeah, I think the players have responded very well. Certainly someone that is familiar with MLS, knows the league very well. Speaking to some of the players, they appreciate the fact that they can understand his English, and he's not as intense as Schalabom was.
Right.
I mean, maybe a personality that the players appreciate more, maybe. So I think the players have been very receptive towards him. I think so far, I think it's just been positive. He's done a lot of work on the defensive side. During the off season, they conceded a lot of goals last year, one of the worst defensive records in the league. So, one of his priorities was kind of really trying to make sure that really getting the team organized to start this season. So, still early. Not too many differences in terms of how the team's going to play. I think they want to be a lot more aggressive. I think the Impact wasn't a team last year that would press high up the field, would kind of sit back deep and try and play teams on the counter. So I think we'll probably see the Impact try and be a lot more aggressive, especially on the road, try and take the play to the other team. But whether physically they're able to do that for long stretches of the game remains to be seen. But yeah, still early, but I think it's been positive. I think he's been welcomed well on the team.
Interesting stuff. Listen, Nick, we got to let you go, but thanks so much for joining us. We really appreciate it, and enjoy the season.
Yeah, talk soon. Look forward to it.
Cheers.
Ciao.
Now we turn our attention to the Vancouver Whitecaps, and for that, we'll be talking to Martin McMahon, Whitecaps beat reporter for Goal.com and MajorLeagueSoccer.com. Martin joins us on the phone from Vancouver. Martin, how are you?
I'm doing well, John. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Well, when we look at the Whitecaps, I guess, in terms of recent news, the big news would be Matias Laba moving from TFC to the Whitecaps. How do you see him fitting in to Coach Carl Robinson's plans?
Well, it looks as if Carl Robinson is most likely going to play a 4-2-3-1 formation, and Matias Laba will probably play as one of those two holding midfielders in front of the back four, and probably he'll line up alongside Nigel Rio-Coker.
It's interesting because I'm interested to hear your take on what this means necessarily for Gershon Kofi, who's been, a key figure for the Whitecaps in recent years.
I think it will reduce his playing time, and some people have suggested that maybe now he is surplus to requirements. That might be a little bit of a stretch. I think he can still contribute here, but what it does mean is that you've got a player that is looking to make the next step in his career, and yet for the first time in his time in Vancouver, he's not a guaranteed starter. Basically, for the first three seasons this team has been in existence in Major League Soccer, Gershon Kofi's been one of the first names on the team sheet, and now we find him in a situation where he's probably going to be on the bench, assuming everyone is fit and healthy. Another player who's probably affected by this is Russell Tybert, who was looking to be the starting player as one of those two in midfield. But now he's probably going to have to play in a more advanced position up the field. Now, of course, we've seen him there as a winger before, but he will also be a little bit disjointed by this because he had looked very good in preseason playing in a holding role.
He did, yeah, and that's sort of was at least my next question. I mean, he's played forward before, up front on the wing and in a more advanced role, and he's looked quite comfortable. But as you said, he looked pretty good in that partnership with Rio Coker in the preseason. Do you get a sense of what his best position is? Because I've talked to other people out in Vancouver, and there just seems to be this idea that we don't really know what his best position is.
Yeah, he's an interesting player in terms of what he brings to the table, what his skill set is, and his physical attributes. People have this perception that he's quick, a lot of like casual observers of the team. But the reality is he's not actually very quick over a long distance. Maybe he's got acceleration his first couple of touches, but he's not the most explosive guy, and he's not the biggest guy. So I think the temptation is, do you put him on the wing because of his crossing ability? Okay, but he's not going to be running past defenders or taking people on and really opening up space out there. So do you play him centrally if you're one of the there are certain coaches that want an element of physicality, and he's not the largest guy, so maybe you don't play him in the middle. Does he score enough goals? Can you play him as a number 10? Probably not at this stage because he's just not getting enough goals. So, but he is very good with the ball at his feet, and I think that's why a lot of people were excited to see him play a holding role where he could be sort of a deep-lying playmaker, and I think that role really suited him in the preseason games. He had a bit more time on the ball. He had, players in front of him that he could distribute the ball to. So I guess I haven't really answered the question because I don't know it myself. But I did like him in that holding role. So it is a little bit unfortunate from a Canadian perspective that he isn't being, given a chance to really explore that role a bit further.
What's, getting back to Labo, what's been the reaction in just amongst Vancouver fans to him coming in? Because, the Whitecaps have, I think his addition now just log jams that midfield even more. It wasn't necessarily a position that they had to fill. I think they've got other needs that are more pressing. So I'm just curious, what's been the overall reaction to his arrival in Vancouver?
I think people are positive about it. But it comes with the factor that fans hope that this isn't the only move, and Carl Robinson has said it won't be.
Right.
A lot of talk about Pedro Morales coming in, and if that Chilean is signed, then that could change the dynamic, and people would maybe be more accepting of Matias Labo. I suppose fans were expecting the next move to be a forward or a number 10, an attacking midfielder, somewhere along those lines. And as you say, position-wise, defensive midfield is not where a lot of people said, okay, that's the weak link here. There are enough players that are in the current squad that can play there. But I think, as Carl Robinson said, if you can improve any position on the pitch, you're going to make that move, regardless of if you're strong there already, why not try and get stronger? And I think, when you mentioned Gershon Kofi before, and a lot of people here have been high on Kofi for a long time. I was very excited to watch him play in the first couple of years, but he really did hit a wall last year. He didn't progress, and as good as he was in those early years, he was not dominant all of the time. You really do need your central midfielders to be consistently dominant and give you a chance to win the ball and keep the ball. And Gershon Kofi wasn't that player for me last season, and maybe Carl Robinson, when he saw the possibility of getting Matias Labo, a guy who could be one of the best central midfielders in MLS if he gets a real run of games and everything clicks, I don't think you turn that move away.
We're talking to Goal.com reporter Mart McMahon from Vancouver here on the Soccer Central podcast. You mentioned before about the club being linked to Chilean playmaker Pedro Morales from Malaga. I think that deal's pretty close to being, being cemented and announced. How important is that signing, do you think, to bring in a playmaking midfielder or number 10 who can orchestrate the attack for the Whitecaps?
I think it's absolutely critical. This team has really lacked a player with that sort of playmaking ability, that ability to bring attacking players into the game since the departure of Davide Cumiento midway through 2012. I mean, we just saw last year things were a little bit disjointed at times. If you don't have a player with vision and composure in advanced positions, you're going to always have trouble scoring goals, breaking teams down. If you were going to say one thing about the Whitecaps attack, especially down the stretch last year and in late 2012 without Cumiento, it's that the club was predictable. Teams knew that if they marked certain players that they could control what areas the Whitecaps would be attacking in. Essentially, teams were shepherding the ball to certain players, shepherding the flow of play into certain areas where they felt that they could control the situation. So if you bring someone who is capable of linking midfield with attack and holding the ball in advanced positions, it can make you dynamic in attack. And I think that's what Morales will probably do. Obviously, he's very good at set pieces as well. And with the departure of Camillo, set pieces are that's another area the team really needed a player to step in.
Yeah, you brought up Camilo. Obviously, that was a big blow, losing him to Cuadrataro. How does the team move forward without him now that that they won't be without the league's top scorer from a season ago?
Yeah, I mean, that's the big question, is who will step up. And I think the issue with the Whitecaps, if you want to call it an issue, is that they have so many young players with potential that haven't really fully hit that there, but there is that feeling that if things go right for any of these young players and they get a bit of a role and they get that confidence, that maybe some magical things can happen. Darren Maddox we've seen in glimpses what he's capable of in his rookie season, explosive at times, and Major League Soccer on MLSsoccer.com named him as the number one of top players under 24 years of age in 2012, and then obviously a very disappointing last season with only 3 goals after predicting that he would score 20. So he still has that talent. A lot of people have written him off. A lot of people obviously offended by his off-season comments on Jamaican TV. Just not a very likable character, for lack of a better term. But he is a player who could step up here, and I'm pretty confident that he could have a good season if things go well. Kakuta Mane, we've seen how explosive he can be. That hat trick down in Seattle late last season captured the imagination of a lot of people. He's another player who could be the beneficiary here. So there's some outside contenders as well, the likes of Eric Hurtado, and let's not forget Kenny Miller, right? I mean,
right.
When he plays, he's been very effective. The issue is his health, and we'll see how he comes through. But he's looked good over the last couple of weeks here, and after being initially a doubt to start the year.
Well, and that's a big thing for the Whitecaps, I think, because obviously, as you said, when he's healthy and he's on his game, then he's quite a lethal player. And without Camilo this year, he's really going to have to step up to the breach, I think.
Absolutely. I mean, he's one of these guys that I don't have the stat right in front of me, but basically when he plays, the Whitecaps had a significantly better record. When he didn't play, they were basically an under 500 team. And when he did play, they were, I think, 4 or 5 games over 500. So when you talk about him, it's not just the goals he brings, but the influence. He makes the players around him better. Just health is going to be the biggest question mark. And obviously when I'm not entirely sure with his older body and an artificial turf, if that is a great combination, but if he does stay fit this year, and maybe if he's restricted at times, maybe if one of the younger players shows that they can contribute, maybe it means you're not playing him 90 minutes every game and you can kind of use him strategically throughout the season.
The off season for Vancouver, safe to say that it wasn't the smoothest. There was a couple PR missteps. You know, you mentioned Darren Maddox going off on Jamaican TV. The team pursued Bob Bradley and didn't get him. There was the whole Andre Lewis fiasco, and then obviously the Camilo thing. You've been around the team for a while. You see the team, you know, on a regular basis there in Vancouver. Do you get a sense of all this adversely affecting, you know, the culture surrounding the Whitecaps?
I think from the outside looking in, you can do that. And obviously, we in the media always like to focus on you know, areas of interest, and fans want to focus on that as well. But what I will say is that Carl Robinson comes across as quite an impressive individual. He's very well liked and respected around the league. You can sense from the players. The players are always going to tell you that they like their coach. It's in their interest to say that, whether they believe it or not. But I do get this feeling, and it's just my perception, that the players are very happy to work with Carl Robinson and to give him a real chance and give their relationship a real chance. The players love him. I mean, I think that he's been, you know, touted as, you know, when he was the assistant manager and it was up for discussion whether or not, you know, he would make a good candidate to be the new head coach. There were players that were backing him before anyone else had entered the equation. And I think that's always an indicator of how well he's respected. Now, things could change, obviously, if he you know, benches someone or keeps someone out of the squad. That can change your relationship, but we're going to see a different side of him. But is there a negativity or a distraction based on the off season? No, I think anytime a new season starts, and especially the fact that Lab is coming in, I think has impressed a lot of people within and without of the squad. And you know, if indeed, you know, Pedro Morales is added to the mix now, then that's what people are going to be talking about, right? What happened yesterday is not generally what people will be focusing on if the news of today is bigger. And I think a guy like Morales, if he does come, could change what people are talking about pretty quickly.
The back line is an interesting story for me as well. Obviously, YP Lee has left. Steven Betashur has come in, and it looks like he's going to fill in at right back. The club re-signed Jay Demerit, which I think was a big move for them because they wanted some sort of level of solidity and continuity. And I don't know, what do you think, but it looks like Sam Adekube could see some, the young Canadian could see some regular playing time. As I said, it's the back line has undergone some changes. Do you think it can withstand sort of all the pressure this upcoming season?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I think a lot of people are wondering, are they going to be under pressure? And the talk is that with so many new changes, we're looking at probably a starting lineup with four new players in it, that there's going to be a little bit of confusion at the start, perhaps, and the defense may be under pressure. I would disagree with that assertion a little bit, just because I feel if you're going to play 4-2-3-1 and Nigel Rio-Coker and Matthias Lab are going to be your two defensive midfielders, I think the defense are actually going to get quite a lot of support, certainly more support than we've seen in probably ever in terms of the Whitecaps in the three seasons prior. So I wouldn't be too concerned for them, but what will be a question mark for me is how Andy O'Brien and Jay Demerit will hold up physically.
Right.
Both of them have had injury problems last year, and I think that and Robinson has acknowledged that both of those players will be managed. So they're both going to get, probably games where they're going to be rested when they're completely healthy and ready to play, just in the interests of keeping them healthy over the course of the season. So that storyline of how those players are managed and how they are able to withstand the rigors of a full season, that's going to be something interesting. But I think there is the depth there. I mean, when you look at Carlisle Mitchell and Johnny Leveron, they're both players capable of stepping in. And the likes of Leveron, in my view, is an MLS starting caliber player.
Interesting stuff. Listen, Martin, we got to let you go, but thanks so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. And enjoy the season.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, John.
Cheers. Just a reminder that you can watch 11 Toronto FC games on Sportsnet this season. Sportsnet will also have exclusive coverage of the Amway Canadian Championship as the Montreal Impact seek to repeat. Go to sportsnet.ca for full details. I'll be back hosting another edition of the Soccer Central radio show Thursday on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. If you can't listen live, you can always download the show afterwards from the podcast page and from iTunes. Okay, guys, that's another edition of the Soccer Central podcast in the books. I'll return next Monday with another edition of the show. Until then, here's to work.